Welcome to the RSA Events Podcast, the home of world-changing ideas and debate.
Gosh, hello everyone. Welcome to the RSA. I'm Lloyd Grossman. I'm chair of trustees here at the RSA. And it's a really great pleasure to welcome you all to the great room this evening for this wonderful event, which is being filmed and live streamed all over the world. So to those of us in the room, please say hello to all our friends around the world and welcome them. As chair of the RSA trustees, I have an even cooler job, which is that I am president of the faculty of the Royal Designers for Industry. It doesn't come with much power, but it sounds fabulous. And it's especially gratifying to me because when I first joined the RSA 40 years ago, I was attracted to it principally by the fact that the RDIs were associated with it. Because, you know, we are in a country which... You know, one of the things that we can be most proud about and most sort of bullish about is that, you know, we lead the world in design in this country. And the RDIs are, you know, not just the most important designers in the UK, they're the most important designers in the world. So it's just great for us to be associated with them. And I'm so happy that the RDI has its home at the RSA. So tonight's gathering is a big celebration because we are inducting and introducing some new RDIs and some new honorary RDIs, as well as welcoming the new master of the faculty. The RSA has been a home for innovation and encouragement of new thinking for 270 years. And it's just the beginning of the journey for us. And I think certainly over the next 5 to 10 years, new thinking and innovation is going to be more important than ever. The RDIs were created in 1936, which means that next year we're going to, let me just get the numbers right. Next year we're going to be celebrating the 90th birthday. And now, how shall we do that? Are we going to have a cake-making competition? What are we going to do? We want ideas from all of you of how we can really mark 90 years of celebrating design excellence. So we've got alongside the new RDIs who are being inducted this evening, we have many existing members of the faculty, and it's a very warm welcome to all of you. And many thanks for everything that you've done to encourage design, to improve people's lives, to make society better, and of course to help us accomplish our mission at the RSA. So, the RSA, across its 270-year history, has been established on the basis of eliciting designs for the public good, and the public good is very important to us. Design and innovation has been part of our DNA ever since we were established. And one of the most interesting things that we have done in our long history, you know, aside from setting up the great exhibition, et cetera, one of the most interesting things we've done was to begin student design competitions. The first of the student design awards in collaboration with the V&A, the first of those awards were established in 1923. So just recently, we passed the 100-year mark. And the idea was to help bridge the gap between the arts and commerce and to elevate the status of design education, which we are totally committed to. So 2 months ago, we congratulated the 101st group of student winners from the oldest in the world design competition, right on this very stage. And I'm very grateful to all the RDIs who helped us with that competition, because these student designers go on to become some of the world's most important and influential designers and help us all to make the world a better place. In the 101st year, we've tried some, we've tinkered with the competition. We have made a number of improvements to the Student Design Awards, and we look forward to the next 100 years of them, which I hope you will all help us celebrate. I mean, we're all supposed to live to be 100 plus, aren't we? You know, if we behave ourselves. So many students who've passed through the Student Design Awards program have gone on to become some of the world's most important designers. Examples include the industrial designer David Carter, fashion designer Betty Jackson, service designer Ben Tirat, and just many others. So I want to mention three winners from the 101st Awards this evening and share their work with you. And they've all won a wonderful Chase Grove Family Foundation Entrepreneurs Award. So many congratulations to all of them. And the first one I want to highlight is the work of Xinyi Liu, who won the award for the Creative Communities Brief. And the brief, which was developed in partnership with the Marketing Trust, asked how might we make creative education and careers accessible to everyone, everywhere. Xinyi's submission was The Shoe Witch, Building Community Through Modular Design, which transforms footwear into an accessible gateway for fashion design, celebrating local handicraft and cultural expression. Reviewers were hugely excited by the innovation of Xinyi's idea in its use of modularity to support adaptability and inclusivity. The second student winner to highlight this evening is Madeline Brissenden, who won her award for the Urban Cool Brief. And this brief, which was developed in partnership with RMIT University and Hammersmith and Fulham Council, asked, how can we support citizens and organizations to create cooler, greener, and fairer cities that bring joy and health to everyone? Madeline's submission, The Cool Spot, is a scalable system of modular pavilions, portable cooling blankets, and a smart app that delivers immediate low energy relief in overheated cities. Our third winner is Matilda Blunt, who won her award for the Where People Meet brief. This brief, which was created in partnership with the Rain Trust, asked, how can we reimagine and create community spaces of the future where people are connected, places are healthy, and everyone is leading a good life? Her submission, called Rural Futures Live, Work, and Play, reimagines rural futures for hybrid working generation rent people by designing a mixed-use development using adaptive reuse of an old grain store, supporting hybrid working and social connections in Bungay in Suffolk. Reviewers were inspired by Matilda's project as a forward-thinking version that celebrates rural innovation. So if Xinyi, Madeline, and Matilda are with us here this evening, could they stand up so that we can congratulate them? And we've got their work on display in the Benjamin Franklin Room. So after this formal bit finishes, would you please go and enjoy their work and engage with them? Because I think you'll be fascinated and exciting by what they've done. Now, so what we're going to do this evening? So we're going to have the presentations for the new RDIs. And then the address this year is going to be delivered by the incoming master, Johanna Gibbons. When do you actually income as master? I mean, is it when you step on stage?
No, not quite.
Oh, not quite?
Where's that?
Okay, so Charlie is eking out his last minutes. Right, okay. And, now to make the presentations and take you through the proceedings from here, it's a great pleasure to welcome the, can I call you the expiring master? Yeah? Or is that too depressing? Yeah. But to make the presentations, I'm going to welcome the current master, the still current master, Charlie Payton. And I have to say, Charlie, you have been such a great help to me over the last year, and you've done so much great work for the IDIS. And you know, one of the things, so I became chair of the RSA a year ago October, and the first thing I was determined to do was to improve and enhance the relationship with the RDIs, because the RDIs are so personally important to me and so significant to the RSA. And I've worked really, really hard to bring the faculty back into the center of what the RSA does and to make sure that all the RDIs know that this is their home. And Charlie has really helped me immensely with this. Dinah Kasson has come on to the Board of Trustees, which I'm thrilled about, and I'm so looking forward to working with Joe. So, you know, thank you all very much. Remember, this is your home. Please treat it as such. So on behalf of all my fellow trustees, I want to thank the RDIs for all the great work you've done. We look forward to celebrating the 90th birthday next year. And now please welcome Charlie Payton.
Thank you very much, Lloyd. I'll see if I can pull through the evening. Good evening, and a big welcome to everybody. It is once again my great pleasure to be here with you all to welcome new Royal Designers and Honorary Royal Designers into the faculty and to share this evening in the celebration of design. I'd like to start by taking a moment to remember and say goodbye to fellow Royal Designers who we have lost in the past year. Please honour them, their amazing work and contribution to design. Sir David McMurtry was born and educated in Dublin. On leaving school, his mother arranged a job opportunity at an insurance company. But when the interviewer asked why he wanted to work in insurance, he replied, "I don't. My mother made me come." David then moved to the UK and became an aviation engineer. Starting as an apprentice with Rolls-Royce, he worked his way up to become their youngest ever deputy chief designer at the age of 32. While working on the Concorde engine, he found the need to measure components to a higher degree of accuracy than was possible at the time. He then invented the touch trigger probe for three-dimensional submicron measuring machines, and he later co-founded the company Renishaw to manufacture them. Renishaw, which today employs over 5,000 people in 36 countries, made him a billionaire. Even so, he never lost his disdain for the City of London, which he accused after the 2008 financial crisis of gambling and skimming off a lot of money in short-sighted trading. He resented that so much talent was being diverted from engineering to finance. The top of the pile that we desperately need are persuaded away to a wealth-consuming activity rather than a wealth-creating activity, he said. The city doesn't create wealth, it removes it. His knighthood was awarded for services to design innovation. At Rolls-Royce, he was named as the inventor on 47 patents and over 150 at Renishaw, with applications ranging from high-precision technology for metrology to neurosurgery. Nordholscher had a life marked by creativity, a contagious passion for his craft, and an extraordinary commitment to both people and design. Throughout a long and award-winning career, he became one of Denmark's most respected and influential voices in architecture and design. Though starting out as an architect, it is his work as an industrial designer which has brought him international attention and recognition. He said of his work, "Design should be like buttons on a shirt, with character to catch your attention, but no more, so that you can use it without thinking about it. Design," he said, "should not be defined. It formulates itself in the creative process." As a professor at the Royal Danish Academy in Copenhagen, he inspired countless students, employees, and colleagues. His integrity, curiosity, and uncompromising standards for the quality left a profound mark, both in his buildings and products, and not least in the people around him. Noot was a rare talent and a person with a keen eye for what is right and beautiful. He was intelligent, razor sharp, and able to see through complex tasks with impressive clarity. His ability to unite the artistic and the functional with deep human insight formed the core of his work. He was also an impressive draftsman, and he painted beautiful watercolors. Rosita Missoni, the visionary founder of Missoni Collections, was a trailblazer in the world of fashion. Rosita's name will forever be synonymous with innovation, artistry, and timeless elegance. Her extraordinary contributions to fashion industry transformed Missoni from a small family-run business into one of the most iconic brands in the world. Her family were textile artisans based in the Milan region. Rosita grew up with a deep appreciation for craftsmanship, design, and the beauty of textiles. She co-founded Missoni in 1953 alongside her husband, Ottavio Missoni, and shared a vision of creating a unique, colorful, and luxury knitwear that celebrated vibrant patterns and quality materials. "When I got married, 4 sewing machines arrived with my husband," Rosita said. "They were set up in the basement studio of their house in Milan. Together, they built a brand that became a hallmark of Italian fashion." Rosita Missoni's creative vision, entrepreneurial spirit, and dedication to her craft will continue to inspire and influence the fashion industry for generations to come. Stuart Craig studied film design at the Royal College of Art before joining the departments of various films in the 60s and 70s. His breakthrough came in 1980 with The Elephant Man. He won 3 Oscars for Best Art Direction for Gandhi, Dangerous Liaisons, and The English Patient, and he was nominated for 8 more, including 4 Harry Potter films. In the UK, he received 16 BAFTA nominations and 3 wins. In 2003, he was appointed OBE in the Queen's New Year's Honours list for services to the film industry. And in 2018, he received the British Film Designers Guild Lifetime Achievement Award, recognising his exceptional contribution to British cinema. The producer, David Putnam, said, "Stuart is the most inventively gifted production designer of his generation. He leaves behind over 4 decades of remarkable work that shaped some of the most memorable works in modern cinema." Bill Dudley trained at St Martin's and the Slade School of Art, and he emerged in the 70s as a fresh innovator in British theatre. He designed more than 60 productions at the National Theatre and numerous others at the Royal Shakespeare Company, Royal Opera House, Bayreuth Festival, Glyndebourne, and on Broadway. He has an exceptional ability to merge architectural insight, immersive environments, and multimedia, ushering in a new era of imagination-fueled theatre. Bill won 7 Olivier Awards, together with BAFTA and Royal Television Society Awards for his designs. He was awarded an OBE for sustained contribution to stage design. Colleagues remember him as an elfin, impish, unmindful of sleep or recreation outside of his dedication to design. His groundbreaking use of revolving stages, flying actors, and Pepper's ghost effects broke new ground and inspired generations. His life's work exemplifies the creative and societal worth at the very core of the RDI distinction. His career offers a compelling blueprint to designers. Dare to innovate, cross disciplines, and always imagine beyond the conventional. Rest in light and shadow, Bill. Urjo Kukapuru had a long career in design, spending over 70 years. Almost every Finn has sat on a chair he designed, at a metro station, in a bank, at school, or in a library. Urjo focused on public space furniture and office chairs, but their comfort made them well suited for homes. Urjo never stopped designing and coming up with new ideas. Until the very end, he was pondering the concept of a new chair, the plan of which was clear in his head. He was born in 1933 in Vyborg, Finland. His career began when Finnish design rose to international fame. Urjo's open-minded and experimental designs established his place among the elite of post-war designers. His chairs are included in the collections of leading design museums, such as the Museum of Modern Art in New York, the V&A, Vitra Museum, and the National Museum in Stockholm. He worked in his studio with his wife, the artist Ameli Kukapuru. Their inspirational studio and home will be turned into a museum next year. Now, let me turn to our new RDIs. The title Royal Designer for Industry is awarded annually by the RSA to UK designers of all disciplines who have demonstrated sustained design excellence and a significant benefit to society. We also award non-UK designers with an even grander title, Honorary RDI. Welcome, new RDIs and Honorary RDIs. I will just read out a brief citation and then invite you onto the stage to collect your award. Alexandra Daisy Ginsberg explores biology, ecology, and technology, asking critical questions about nature and technology. She challenges assumptions about progress and provokes reflections on ecological responsibility. Daisy is an artist and designer whose influential work sits at the intersection of art, science, and ecology. With a practice spanning over 15 years, she has become a pioneer in interspecies design, using technology and storytelling to explore how we might design more responsibly with and for non-human life. Trained in architecture at the University of Cambridge, Daisy was awarded the Herschel Smith Scholarship to Harvard and later completed a PhD at the Royal College of Art. Investigating how dreams of better futures shape design and technology. She is the author of Synthetic Aesthetics, a foundational text in biodesign. Her landmark project, Pollinator Pathmaker, a living artwork designed from the perspective of pollinators, has been planted by the Serpentine in London, LAS Arts Foundation in Berlin, and the Eden Project as a powerful example of how art and ecology can together confront urgent planetary challenges. Daisy, welcome and congratulations. Lloyd, come and join me. We stand in the middle. Daisy.
Sorry.
You stand in the middle.
You stand in the middle. Thank you. Yes. Brilliant. Thank you.
Congratulations. Well, yeah.
Frithka brings a narrative-driven approach to branding and design, working with cultural institutions to rethink identity and communication. Her philosophy has led to innovative and unconventional designs, solutions that challenge traditional norms and is often full of wit, charm, and colour. Work that breaks down barriers and lifts the spirit. Frith is an acclaimed graphic designer, known for her joyful, collaborative, and deeply original design practice. She has twice been selected for Designer of the Year by the Design Museum and is a member of the prestigious Alliance Graphique Internationale. Her work bridges disciplines from art and fashion to food and interiors and is celebrated for its wit, clarity and emotional resonance. As a teacher, mentor, and public speaker, Frith has made a lasting contribution to contemporary design culture. Frith, welcome. And congratulations.
Congratulations. I love the color carnation.
We have to stand in the middle to get everything nice and symmetrical. Mona Chalabi uses imaginative data visualization and illustration to raise awareness of complex issues such as inequality, climate change, and public health. Her work invites public engagement with worldwide concerns, using creativity to challenge misinformation and encourage debate. Mona is a Pulitzer Prize-winning data visualization designer. Her work transforms statistics into accessible, hand-drawn illustrations. She uses data as a tool for storytelling on pressing issues. Her work has been exhibited at major institutions, including the Tate and the Brooklyn Museum, and she serves as data editor at The Guardian. Mona's practice demonstrates how design can foster understanding, challenge power, and create meaningful impact. Her work exemplifies how data design can be a form of public service, engaging, critical, and deeply human. Mona, welcome, and congratulations. Yeah, we're getting good at this. Thank you. We're really brilliant. Well done. Tusa Wilson designs gravestones and monuments that are drawn and carved with astonishing wit, beauty, and imagination. He works with the families of the deceased using traditional stone carving and letter cutting to create public artworks that honour memory, place, and craftsmanship. What distinguishes his practice is his deeply human approach to memorial design. Tusa tailors each piece to reflect the unique personality and life of the deceased. Collaborating closely with bereaved families, he transforms the moment of grief into one of reverent celebration, crafting works that are both intimate and enduring. This highly personal process sets them apart in a field so often defined by repetition and formula. Tusa's work shapes the conversation around memory, mourning, and meaning. His sensitive, beautiful designs contribute not only to individual acts of remembrance, but also to the cultural and spiritual fabric of the communities they serve. Tusa, welcome. And congratulations. Good stuff. Thank you. Yinka Ilori is a multidisciplinary designer whose bold visual language draws on his British Nigerian heritage to convey new narratives. Drawing on Nigerian parables and verbal traditions, Ilori touches on a multitude of themes, fostering joy and inclusivity through design. His impact is broad. Culturally, he has expanded design's vocabulary by embedding Nigerian and diaspora narratives in contemporary practice. Socially, his work enhances public life, revitalizes spaces, increases accessibility, and creating environments that foster belonging. Commercially, Ellori's collaborations with Adidas, Lego, and the British Fashion Council illustrate the versatility of his ethos across disciplines. Yinka Ellori's work transforms the way we experience design, making it more joyful, inclusive, and reflective of the communities it serves. By blending cultural storytelling with bold innovations, he redefines the boundaries of contemporary design and inspires change across public, commercial, and cultural spheres. Yinka, welcome. And congratulations. Well done, Robin.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Great. And you brought the fan club. Very good.
I'd love to talk to you later. Thank you.
Yeah. Wonderful. Thank you.
Now I move on to the honorary RDIs. April Greiman is a pioneer of the shift from analog to digital design, using technology and experimentation to expand the boundaries of communication. As a fearless and philosophical design maverick, her work has led challenges to design education, arguing for the freedom to explore emerging digital technologies and expanding definitions of design. For over 40 years, she has worked across media and disciplines, collaborating with architects, cultural institutions, and educators. Her projects span print, signage, installations, and interactive design. Educated in Switzerland and the US, April blends science, technology, and design, challenging traditional rules about format, scale, and meaning. In the 80s, her hybrid imagery using early Mac computers shocked the design world and was dubbed West Coast New Wave. She was the first woman to design a US postage stamp, and she had created significant public works, including wayfinding for the LA Metro. Her projects with renowned architects like Frank Gehry and Koop Himmelblau demonstrate her influence on the built environment. April, welcome and congratulations. Lovely. Can I have got a hands free for that one? Thank you. Philippe Bloch is a leading engineer in structural design, computational engineering, and sustainable construction. He specializes in minimizing material use through ingenious structural solutions. His innovations in masonry and low material use structures reduce carbon footprints and inspire responsible and beautiful architecture. Philippe is a tour de force in his pursuit for sustainability through technical innovation, primarily through education, reaching countless young minds and instilling the same innovative approach, but also in industry through his engineering practice, Foreign Engineering GmbH, and even more remarkably, as a board director of Holcim, one of the world's largest construction material companies. Philippe joined the Swiss Federal Institute of Technology in Zurich in 2009 as assistant professor of architecture and structure, and was promoted to full professor in 2017. He founded and co-directs the institution's Bloch Research Group. The group focuses on the design and analysis of unreinforced masonry structures, structural design tools, computational form finding, and new sustainable and circular construction. Philippe, welcome. Congratulations. Thank you. Each year, the faculty has the beautiful and often testing challenge of discussing, proposing, and electing new RDI members, the highest accolade for designers in this country, and one that shines a light on the power of design in all its forms. This year is no exception. Congratulations again to you all. Now for a quick roundup of our year. Throughout the 2025 World Design Congress at the Barbican, we heard from some of the world's most creative thinkers. Among them were many RDIs, including Sir Norman Foster, Thomas Heatherwick, Tom Lloyd, and Brian Eno. In her opening address, Dr. Jane Goodall said, "Let Mother Nature be your co-designer. You have the creativity, the skill, and the power to redesign the world. Not just for efficiency or beauty, but for survival, for our children and theirs, regeneration for hope." Delegates from across the world listened to speakers as speakers challenged us to think on longer timeframes and to reflect on how we design the elements that shape our lives. The Congress, shaped in part by Es Devlin RDI, was ambitious and brilliantly curated by the Design Council. But the breakout session, called Design Entanglement, was something else. Led by Joe Gibbons, landscape architect and faculty master-elect, it took place in the Barbican Conservatory and offered a welcome shift from the formality of the main stage. With bright sunlight filtering through the plants, 17 RDIs and 32 World Design Congress delegates came together for a moment of shared inquiry at our RDI session. The session explored how to design with, not just for, the planet, and demonstrated the faculty at its best, exercising the power to convene or entangle by creating a shared space for reflection and long-term thinking, and perhaps planting the seed of lifetime connections. Through the generous funding from the Royal Commission for the Exhibition of 1851, perhaps the most rewarding event in our calendar has been the much-loved RDI summer session. Led by Chris Wise, Dinah Casson, Kim Collin, Tom Lloyd, and Wilhelmina Bunn, the summer session was held in late September at Dartington Hall in Devon. We currently have funding for the next year and hope to secure further support to make this a regular feature. The real power of the weekend was the chance to bring together emerging designers, scientists, activists, and engineers to consider the perils of our age and ways to engage positively in our collective response. One response in particular from one of the cohort of young designers sums up the event very eloquently. I'd like to read the words from Anya Melander. "Doing nothing changes everything. What happens when 60 designers, scientists, engineers, and wildcards gather to do nothing for 3 days? Last week, I returned from a creative residency at Dartington Hall, where an unlikely group of designers and wildcards met for the RDI summer session. It was the complete opposite of modern life. No laptops, slides, or agendas, no stress, and nothing to achieve. It felt like a sanctuary for the imagination, a place where creativity could get weird and grow wild. For 3 days, we were living outside of time, turning failure into compost, making giant soap bubbles and tiny worlds, exploring design as utensils of the mind, a way of sensing, relating, and being in the world. Then something remarkable happened. Without the need to achieve, we became wildly creative. Trust emerged, people started playing, time expanded, imagination, that rare and precious thing, felt alive and well. I left feeling renewed and hopeful, and filled with new questions. What would be possible if we let go of control? Where in my life could I invite more surprise? What if we made space for open conversation and slowness? What if we acted more like nature and less like a business? What would happen if we all did nothing for an hour? The experience reminded me that perhaps the most radical design act is doing nothing, just being still long enough for the imagination to come out and play. On my way back to Stockholm, looking out of the window, I completely reimagined a project I've been working on for months. Doing nothing, it turns out, can change everything. And that's Anja Melander with me on Follow Spot, which is a skill I've been honing for 50 years now. Since their introduction in 1978, the faculty have had a close association with the Samisha Black Awards and Medal. The awards celebrate Samisha, who was also a master of the faculty. Administered by the Royal Commission for the Exhibition of 1851, the medal honours those who have given distinguished services to design education. The first and only international award to do so. I would like to celebrate this year's awardees, made just last week, to Professor William Iron and to Lady Helen Hamlin. The award for innovation in design education was made to Victoria Thornton of the Thornton Education Trust. Now, you may be wondering why I'm wearing this rock of kryptonite around my neck. Obviously, you all were. It was designed in 1961 by Professor Robert Gooden, RDI, who was an amazing designer and also a master of the faculty, to celebrate our 25th anniversary. Actually, this nugget is a disc of tourmaline quartz. The meaning of tourmaline is protection and grounding. He described it as being held in a colourless field to suggest the precious collection of ideas which wait to be discovered. The outer border is adapted from the vanes of a turbine, a very striking instance of purely functional design, which is at the same time beautiful to see. And clearly, RDIs were much better dressed in those days. I now have the greatest pleasure in handing over this nugget to the capable hands of Joe Gibbons, who succeeds me tonight as Master of the Faculty. Joe, whose nearly 40-year practice is dedicated to reconnecting urban spaces with nature at a time when our planet needs it most. Joe's designs foster resilience, support ecological and human health, and unite communities, offering a hopeful vision for a more sustainable future. Joe's passion is palpable, especially for her love of trees. Joe, I and all of us are delighted that you agreed to take on the role of master. Yes, this is where the power gets transferred. Does that feel good? Yeah, all right. No, I've got something wrong there. There we go, that's it. Well done. Brilliant.
Thank you, John.
Yeah, thank you. On behalf of us all, I would like to invite Joe to give tonight's address.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, this is wonderful. And that's my compost right there. So, thank you, Charlie. Where are you? Thank you, Charlie. I can't imagine a more generous, spirited mentor over the last year. And thank you, RSA. Thank you, Sir Loy Grossman and David Joseph, for extending open arms to the faculty, which feels so good, right? It's an absolute honour to be taking on the role of Master of the Royal Designers for Industry, which is an extraordinary group of wide-ranging, world-renowned designers. A faculty of design nestled under the canopy of the RSA. This is a faculty with an almost 90-year history of shaping culture and society through design. Yet as the first landscape architect as master, and only the fifth woman in this role, following Betty Jackson, Dinah Cassin, Jean Muir, and Lucien Day, I'm reminded that the very first RSA initiative back in 1754 was to incentivize landowners to plant trees, 60 million of them. And nearly three centuries later, that mission feels more urgent than ever, and as a landscape architect, could not be more relevant. Landscape architecture isn't simply what I do, it's who I am. It's my way of life and ethos. It's fair to say that my profession is something of a mystery to many, so I'd like to take this opportunity to demystify by talking about a philosophy of deep ecology that drives me and the work of my practice. This is underpinned by the natural dynamics of nature, and in that I include humanity. Creatively, now in the triple lock of climate, biodiversity, and mental health crises, I feel a complex yearning and responsibility to operate in an eco-centric rather than egocentric way. Pragmatically, it means a total approach to design and to habitat creation, not just for newts or bats, but for humanity and our coexistence with all forms of life. From the bedrock that defines the landscape's essential character, to the living soil beneath our feet that smells sweet after rainfall, from successional tree planting that secures the resource for the future, to urban forestry that makes the city a place we still want to live. An urban forest that absorbs pollution, oxygenates the air we breathe, cools the street, and feeds our imagination. It is about making tangible our reconnection with nature through design to reignite an entanglement with the living world that reconnects us to natural cycles. The cumulative impact is a profound sense of well-being at the heart of the places where we gather, nurture, and love, places that connect us to one another and remind us of the beauty of life. Landscape architecture bridges the arts, the sciences, and the humanities. It is a profession with the ability to help reverse climate change and create resilient places for all life to flourish. Reflects the needs and the aspirations of communities so that they feel they belong and can thrive equitably. The foundation of my thinking is landscape, is design with nature, design that emulates, enhances, and restores the systems on which nature and society depends. It encompasses design through community engagement and strategic planning, urban forestry, nature recovery, and sustainable water management in a way that makes environmental, social, and economic sense. Healthy environments mean healthy communities. Nature is not some satellite consideration to the global economy that we patronize in dreamy moments. It is the mothership. I'm interested in the sensory experience of the landscape, stimulating visceral interconnections with our environment, bridging the chasm of separation, which is increasingly pronounced due to virtual realities, reawakening as feeling of connectivity to the ecosystem that is home. To forward this ambition, we work tirelessly to design and deliver cutting-edge projects almost entirely in the public realm. Transformations that are only realized through a tenacious and highly collaborative mindset, seeking to breathe life into the places we're engaged with, working intimately with grassroots communities to bring nature to the doorstep, and at scale with extraordinary national institutions, interpreting the history of life on Earth in a way that inspires a love of nature. Creating spontaneous outbursts of biodiversity and bringing historic landscapes back to life, fit for purpose, landscapes that can offer spiritual replenishment and hope for the future. Alongside my practice, we bring our network of friends, experts, artists, and academics in direct contact with the public through our social enterprise Landscape Learn to reinvigorate an intuitive sensory intelligence. For the practice, it's meant financial sacrifice, but it's something that we believe in passionately. It gives us the freedom to explore diverse landscapes and reveal what it takes to care and nurture for them, to challenge siloed thinking and to make profound emotional connections between people and the living systems that shape our lives, an agile platform for action research to spark the imagination through creative participation. There is no place for apathy. That's the biodiversity loss since 1970 to today, 50% biodiversity loss. This shows the green to grey. Simply reducing our impact is not enough. I've fought that battle on major infrastructure projects that legitimise the mindless destruction of irreplaceable natural assets, projects whose design briefs were misguided from the start, blind to wider impacts, deaf to grassroots knowledge, and driven by the belief that growth must prevail, whatever the cost to the natural world or the well-being of existing communities. Too often, size, speed, or shininess has been valued above a deep, messy, creative engagement with the complex ecologies of people and place. True progress lies instead in a commitment to net zero, to craft, and to resource management and nature-based solutions and innovations where the cumulative impact of many modest, meaningful actions build exponential momentum. A quiet revolution that must now find its voice, inviting everyone to join and to help build confidence in a different path forward. This pathway lies deep within our psyche and is fundamentally regenerative. As a landscape architect, it's an approach to natural assets that rejects extraction in favor of balance, recognizing nature's equal right to exist and regenerate. A sentient life force working silently and equitably for our benefit, yet so often overlooked. A marvelous mosaic of ecologies, not merely significant for their diversity, resilience, and self-sustaining capability, but vital to our own survival, life-dependent, and life-affirming. We're all part of the interconnected processes that sustain and adapt our world, yet humanity has proved remarkably effective at disrupting them. Yet still we have the creative capacity to restore balance, to design with nature, and to think not just for now, but for the long term. I see the Royal Designers as a magnificent ecological network, a living entanglement and a profoundly influential force for good, a collective capable of embracing the complex life-defining challenges of our time. And as fellow RDI Brian Eno observed, many of those we think of as lone geniuses were, in truth, part of a wider community, supporting one another, sharing ideas, borrowing, shaping, and evolving together. Good work, he said, isn't created in a vacuum. Creativity is always, in some sense, a collaboration, the result of a mind connected to other minds. There are many ways for you to interact with the faculty. Each year we open the nominations to the public to ensure it continues to define excellence and represent the diversity of contemporary design. We host sessions that entangle royal designers with early career practitioners to stimulate and inspire. For example, the summer session that Charlie talked about earlier. And earlier in September, a condensed version that we were prototyping in the moist, verdant surroundings of the Barbican Conservatory during the World Design Congress. These are open-ended explorations, exhilarating expressions of creativity, relaxed, raw, and real, a beauty in the chaos, a safe place, searching, unresolved, yet joyful. The royal designers form a rich ecology of design principles, of design disciplines. And our strengths lie in making connections where ideas can flow and relationships endure. Together, let's ask how design can help us remember that we are nature and how embracing that truth must reshape our practice. The rate of change is alarming. So entanglement is a provocation about making real the interconnectedness of people, their practices, and the living world at this time of climate, biodiversity, and health crises. And rather than backing off, fearful, to step forward, engage, and become immersed in the opportunities that the challenge our time now presents for the planet and for humanity. What a unique shared creative space this is. So when deliberating last year, slightly overwhelmed by the invitation to become the next master, it was the wonderful Betty Jackson, RDI past master, who said, "Jo, there haven't been many girls. Take it and make sure you enjoy it. Together with you, that's what I plan to do. Life is a complex collective endeavor, so in accepting this great privilege to represent the Royal Designers, I'm deeply grateful, as always, for the love and support of my family, my creative partners at J&R Gibbons, who are here, as well as the support of the faculty, together with a renewed enthusiasm of the RSA, just to say that this will be a juggling act alongside my practice, a small yet mighty design studio, constantly in what seems like a state of fervent effervescence. So entanglement will be the theme of my term as master. Get ready to be entangled. In celebrating the 90th anniversary of the Royal Designers in 2026, next year, and alongside various seasonal get-togethers curated to cultivate suppleness, share creative curiosity that is nuanced and ambiguous in the way that we all know best, to rub shoulders with each other, to fizz, to squeak and bubble. Thank you.
Jo, that was so great. We're entangled. Yes? Thank you so much, and we so look forward to working with you over the next couple of years. Thank you very much indeed. Thank you, Charlie, for being such a great master and such a support for me and for the RSA. Thank you all very much for coming along. I'm now aware I'm the only thing that stands between you and the drinking, so I'll be very quick. Would the new RDIs stay by the stage for some photos? And everyone else, please go downstairs and enjoy the hospitality in the Benjamin Franklin room. And thank you all very much indeed. Thank you. Thanks.
Thanks for listening. If you like this podcast, head to our YouTube channel for inspiring talks, interviews, and animations.